here's another one of these Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcasts that are enjoyed by people who download them and
people who need people.
You're the luckiest people in the world. Here we go, the top 5 things that happen on the Dave and Darren in the morning show. My name is Dave. His name is Darren.
And the podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment. You can order recreational items now online from the Galesburg location. You can also order medicinal items from the Milan location through Leafly. Both of those are at the website, ntillinois.com.
Here's number one.
Number one.
Can't believe Perry Farrell invited us to go to Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted us to hang out and ride in a golf cart with him and drink wine.
That's
and
right.
And we couldn't go.
No.
Because you had tickets to go see Paul McCartney. And I wasn't brave enough to go by myself. I mean, I suppose I could have gone by myself, but it really felt like he was extending the invitation to both of
mm-hmm.
us.
He was.
If I would have gone without you, it would have been weird, right?
Not really. I wouldn't have minded.
No, not you. Him.
Oh.
That's what would have happened. I would have shown up at Grant Park and
where's
he would have
the
been
other
like,
guy?
Yeah, where's Darren at, man? Oh, yeah, well,
he's not a real big wine drinker.
He had tickets,
but he does like golf carts.
He had tickets to go to another concert, not Lollapalooza. And then, yeah, I have Perry Farrell explain to me, well, man, you know, the invitation was for both of you.
Right.
So I was right in not going alone, right? Paul McCartney's birthday today, isn't it?
That's true.
We'll be talking about that, I imagine, when we do the birthday barn in about a half an hour. If you or a coworker, a loved one, a family member, if you're celebrating a birthday today or over the weekend, we probably should know about that, right?
Go to the website, planet939.com, click on the birthday barn link, and let us know, yeah, who's having a birthday for today, June 18th, or the 19th, or the 20th. It's brought to you by Oscar's Pub. They're at 5027 Competition Drive in Bettendorf.
See if we can get Perry on the show again and maybe like hint around that we're available for Lollapalooza this year.
I think we had our chance.
Yeah, he's
just going to...
The window's closed?
He's going to pretend like he doesn't know what we're doing. I know that you guys are fishing for an invitation, and it's just not going to happen.
The first time I ever got a chance to interview him, I was really early on in my career, and I was so nervous because it's Perry Farrell, right? And I was just asking just really lame questions, you know, just like the questions you ask when
it's... Do you ever just put a tombstone pizza in?
No, I didn't ask him about frozen pizzas. That's the sort of thing I would ask now as a more seasoned interviewer. But I think I asked a question about, you know, how much do you feed off of the crowd when, you know, they were doing... It was Porno for Pyros was coming to town.
Not at all, David, not at all.
No, his answer was...
I prefer... Performing in front of stuffed animals.
Which, of course, is it was such a stupid question, you know. But I was a kid. I didn't know any better. And I asked, you know, how important is it when the crowd is into the show? How important is that for you as a performer? And there was a long pause to the point where I thought he had hung up because it was just such a bad question. And it was like just the longest dead air ever. And then Perry Farrell said to me, I'll never forget this. He said, "You can make magic in the middle of the desert, David."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's
Ooh,
it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my mantra now.
Well,
thank you, Perry.
Listen, sometimes people, that when you're interviewing them, they hang up. It happens.
Well.
I don't know that it's...
That only happened once on our show.
I know Larry asked a question one time. And,
right.
And one of
Brad
the,
G.
And one of the doctors from the doctors... Well, it just wasn't quite as clinical as I had hoped.
I should have hung up on Larry, frankly.
Yeah.
Nebraska man has set a new world record by completing 60 skydiving jumps in 24 hours.
That's a lot.
That it is. What's more, he was naked for every jump. Well, obviously wearing something.
That's a lot of wind burn.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. You've never skydove, have you?
No.
Would you like to? Is it something on your list of things?
Not necessarily.
I'd love to, man. I would love to jump
then
out
why
of a plane.
Don't you do it?
I just, you know, I've got other things going on.
Why don't you jump out of a plane?
Perfectly fine airplane? Yeah, no, it's on my list of things. Probably wait until the boy's out of school, and then, you know, if I'm gone, it's not going to...
Yeah, why don't you, you know what, do
be
this.
Be as big a deal.
Do this. Suggest that to Jenny about, for a Father's Day thing. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go and take Owen skydiving.
No.
And see how that plays.
I would like to go skydiving. I don't want my son to go skydiving.
How old do you have to be to skydive?
Oh, I imagine 18, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Ryan Kanoff of Omaha contacted the Guinness World Records about setting the record for most naked skydiving jumps in 24 hours. And they said you could create a new record category, but you'd have to do at least 25 jumps in 24 hours. He did 60. He says that there's an informal tradition with skydivers. When you get to your 100th jump,
yeah,
you're supposed to do it in the nude.
Huh.
I had no idea. How is skydiving fun 100 times in? I can't think of anything. Like after 4 or 5, I'd be yawning the whole way down
to
the ground.
It's still a thrill.
You think after you're doing 100?
I would think so.
I don't think so, man. I think that would get old. He came up with the idea to set the naked skydiving world record as a fundraiser for mental health charities after a friend of his passed away. He says, my friend that we lost to mental health issues was about this close to his 100th jump. Mm. Close enough that he talked about it all the time, and he didn't get to make it. So I'm out here for him and a lot of other people that we lost, which is great. I mean, that's awesome. Anything you can do to raise awareness for mental health, I'm all for it. He completed 60 naked jumps over Weeping Water, Nebraska. And his attempt raised money for the Movember Foundation, a charity that is dedicated to men's mental health and suicide prevention, which is awesome. I have a question, though, about the logistics of this.
Because mm-hmm.
Guinness was saying you need to do 25 jumps in 25 hours. How much time are you, like... You're
how
on
do you
the
do
ground.
60?
Yeah, how do you get the plane up and down that many times?
Well, you probably use more than one plane. So that you can have it gassed up.
Okay.
So maybe a couple planes are being used, but even that, you can.
So one would be on the ground waiting for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because I just don't know the logistics of getting a plane up and down that many times.
But doing almost three every hour?
Right. And the other logistical concern is, as you mentioned, the wind. I don't know that I need that much wind blowing around.
Well, my guess is that you're only going to be jumping the one time.
Yeah, no. When I go, I'll be wearing clothes. Yes, for sure. I could see doing it a handful of times. But just 100 jumps to me seems like, I don't know. How many times do you need to do something before it becomes boring? I imagine that's why they have to do it naked,
yeah, but
just so there's some sort of thrill involved.
But if you do 100 jumps, but it's over the course of a lifetime, you know, over the course of 40 years
yeah,
or whatever,
all right.
If you're only doing it a couple times a year.
Well, if I was doing it over the course of a summer, right? If I had to do a... If I started in June and I was going to do 100 by September 1st...
Well, no one's asking you to do 100.
Well, I'm telling you, if you are asking me, the answer is no.
Okay. All right. I'm glad that you've drawn a line in the sand.
Listen, I think it's important to set boundaries. He and his crew got to the Weeping Water Airport at 4:30 in the morning to get everything in order. By 9 o'clock on Wednesday, he had more than doubled the threshold that was needed to get the world record. And he celebrated the 60 jump mark with a cake to the face. And a much-deserved break.
Now,
this is really about being naked and having a cake smashed in your face, isn't it? That's what this is about, right? That's all this is.
Smash, smash, smash!
Now, was he jumping from a lower elevation than typical?
Well, I imagine that they have rules for that,
well,
right?
I would imagine there has to be but the minimum height you can jump out of a plane.
Volunteers who had decades of flying experience were taking him up and down, it says here, in two different planes.
I mean, I guess jumping out of a plane from about a foot doesn't really... I'm nude! Doesn't count. But I'm nude, and I just got a pie in the face.
He would load the plane, take off, get out in about 5 minutes. And then there'd be a 3-minute descent. So 7 minutes total. He would then spend 2 minutes on the ground re-rigging and getting back in the plane for a total of 10 to 11 minutes per turn. 6 jumps per hour is what this guy was doing.
Wow.
He says without the team of support, he wouldn't have been able to do it. Quote, well, clearly, it's so humbling.
Someone's got to fly the plane. That really goes without saying.
Yeah, if you're skydiving solo, like you're the one taking the plane up, that's irresponsible.
Right, you're crashing a plane into something.
Nobody wanted to take me. What was I supposed to do?
Not go?
Quote, it is so humbling how much my friends and the people I care about are there to care about something I also care about. They're not just here to support me. They're here to support what we're doing, and the strength we have in this community is something that I think the world needs. Yeah, good on you, man. I think that's awesome. And he's created his own world record here. It looks like he's wearing shoes and a helmet and the backpack, and that's it. Again, doing this for the Movember Foundation to raise money for suicide prevention. So that's terrific. And it's also terrific, too, that he was able to stick the landing. Because if you're raising money for suicide prevention and something were to go wrong...
Number two.
Darren, I have 2 stories coming to us from the Sunshine State.
Mm-hmm.
Florida. And these stories...
Florida.
As an extra special bonus, both stories involve chicken.
Nice.
Yes. We begin with a brotherly argument over some chicken that turned violent Monday night when a Florida man allegedly threw a knife at his sibling and the airborne knife got stuck in the leg, the right leg of the victim. Messiah Harris Smith, facing a felony aggravated battery charge in connection with this incident that happened in St. Petersburg, the victim told police he didn't want his brother prosecuted. He's going to need to receive stitches, according to the arrest affidavit. There's not a lot about the chicken argument. What were they arguing about? I'm going to guess, like, who gets what piece, right?
Or how much.
Right. Messiah Harris Smith, pleading not guilty, was released from the county jail on his own recognizance. He was arrested earlier this year for allegedly pushing and threatening to kill his mother during an argument in their home. Now, I don't know that that was a chicken-related argument, but I think you can very safely make that assumption.
Brother, we did it. Now, let's sit down, make amends, and finish this delicious chicken.
Messiah, I can't stay mad at you.
Brother...
Then there's the story of a Florida woman who's facing domestic battery charges after pelting her boyfriend in the face and chest with a plate of chicken.
Oh, I'm offended.
Jennifer Booth is 43 years old. She struck her 56-year-old boyfriend with the chicken while the couple was eating on the porch of their home down in Bradenton, Florida.
You just don't do it. It's just not done. To use chicken as a weapon.
Well, it says here that he cooked the chicken dinner, too.
Uh-huh.
Not injured in the poultry assault. He told police that his girlfriend became violent during a verbal argument and picked up the paper plate of chicken and threw it in my face. A paper plate of chicken?
You're going to need to bring a bigger chicken if you think you're going to take me down.
Chicken on a paper plate's a bad idea. Don't you find?
A couple drumsticks?
I don't know, man.
Or you just paper plates in general, a bad idea.
I just don't know that paper plates on chicken...
Well, they've got some sturdy paper plates these days.
Yeah, I'm thinking of just
You're just thinking of the simple...
I'm thinking of genuine paper plates. Yes. Yeah, this is probably a little bit classier.
Or not.
You know, I made a meal for my girlfriend. I made a sumptuous chicken feast. You know your judo well... I made this sumptuous chicken feast, served it on the finest paper plate money could buy, and the thanks I get is I'm assaulted with said chicken. I'm calling 911. He did. He called 911, and Booth was arrested and booked into the Manatee County Jail, released on a $500 bond. She works at a hospital down there, Lakewood Hospital, and has 3 prior arrests. Most recently in 2015 for domestic violence. Booth, it says here, is an avid hunter whose Facebook page is stocked with pictures of her posing with animals that she shot dead. One photo shows her holding the head of a giraffe she killed on a hunt in South Africa.
What?
Which she describes on Facebook here as, quote, one of the best days of my life. When I murdered that giraffe, that was the best day I ever had.
I never felt so alive!
She seems nice. Well, there you go. 2 assaults taking place. And the common denominator is, of course, that they're happening in Florida. And
Florida? But that's America's wang.
Here's hoping she's no relation to Shirley Booth. Because Hazel would not stand for this.
Mr. B, I shot a giraffe point blank range, Mr.
B. Cut its head off, Mr. B. How was your long weekend,
Oh, I'm
Hazel?
Glad you asked, Mr. B. We went over to South Africa and I killed a giraffe. Strangled it with my bare hands. I had to go all the way up its long neck, Mr. B.
A bunch of giraffes in South Africa, Hazel?
Well, there was just one. We was at the zoo, Mr. B. And it gave me a dirty look. And I don't put up with nothing, as you know, Mr. B. That giraffe gave me a look, and I didn't care for the way it was looking at me, so I strangled the life from it, Mr. B.
What's that smell coming from the garage, Hazel?
Oh, I got the carcass back there, Mr. B. I'm making giraffe jerky. None of that giraffe's gonna go to waste, Mr. B. You know how I am.
Oh, Hazel.
Now, why don't you put your feet up? You've had a long day doing business.
Will you rub my feet, Hazel?
I'll do more than that, Mr. B. You picking up what I'm dropping, Mr. B.?
I do. Let me see that giraffe head.
Number three.
I have an update to a story you heard first on Dave and Darren in the Morning. Remember that story of the couple who were going through some hard times, so they decided it would be a good idea to handcuff themselves together?
Yes.
They've broken up.
Good.
They handcuffed themselves together in a bid to save their relationship. They have now announced that they have broken
up. We have not saved it.
They chained themselves together for 3 months as a test of their love. And enough was enough for Alexander Kudlay and Victoria Pustovitova. He's 33. She's 29. They live in Ukraine.
And now single and ready to mingle.
Yeah. And single in the Ukraine. I bet that's fun. They spent 123 days together, but they admitted that their efforts to repair what was an on-again, off-again relationship didn't quite work out the way they wanted. Yeah, we're always breaking up. You know what? Why don't we just handcuff ourselves? Chain was severed by giant bolt cutters in Kiev.
Did they work at the same place?
That's a great question.
Yeah, we worked the drive-thru.
Yeah, what do you do for a living if you're handcuffed to your girlfriend and vice versa?
We work a toll booth.
Giant bolt cutters were used, and they did this at the Unity Monument, because the Unity Monument is where they got themselves handcuffed together. The two of them said they can't wait to go their separate ways.
Can't happen soon enough.
You know, everybody's been to that point in a relationship where it's like, this needs to end. And when your gut is telling you that, honor that. Don't decide to go the other way and handcuff yourself literally to someone that you probably need to just walk away from. Victoria shouted hooray as she was cut free.
Hooray! And then sprinted away.
Smell you later. Well, that's a bit harsh. I thought we could take a little time to mourn our relationship.
No, gone.
She shouted hooray as she was cut free and said, quote, I want to live my own independent life and grow as an independent person. I am finally free. You see, this was Alexander's idea to do this. She said she wanted to break up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, no, you don't. Clink.
Give me 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Alexander said, thank you all for supporting us. Look, we are now at a distance from each other. We were happy, and we are now happy to have had this experience in our lives. For 3 months, there was no personal space. They did everything together, going to the grocery store, going to the bathroom, all of it handcuffed to each other. Now, they had to have bolt cutters used, because I imagine if you're going to do this, you got to get rid of the keys, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because in the middle of the night, you'd wake up and the other one's gone.
You're handcuffed to, like,
a fire hydrant.
A toaster. They say that it was the lack of privacy that cost them their relationship and their plans to get married to each other. The writing had been on the wall. Alexander was updating all of their followers on Instagrams about their personal relationship issues, admitting here, difficulties are starting to snowball. As soon as we find one plus in a situation, immediately there are two minuses. She wants to get back to the rhythm of her earlier life. She misses what she used to love to do, which would be, you know, not being handcuffed to you, nightmare. Quote,
she considers me something of a ball and chain.
Quote, she doesn't respond well to my suggestions. Well, you were the one who came up with this idea. He said he was fed up being stuck alongside her as she did her makeup every morning. And he would say, we tried really hard not to escalate conflicts. I struggle with hearing noises when I cook or on the phone, and I don't like to spend so much time by the mirror every morning. After a 4-hour argument, he posted, our resources are running dry. We need to relax in a big crowd to let go of each other. We need to reboot. When we go shopping, we start fresh and happy and finish up like squeezed lemons. I'm guessing that's probably some sort of Ukrainian phrase. I ended up like a squeezed lemon. You know what I'm talking about.
People people there are saying, that's not a saying.
We're getting texts from Ukraine?
Just letting you guys know, that's not a thing, even here.
They had extra zips sewn into their clothing to make getting dressed and undressed easier. It was announced in May that they had broken the Ukrainian and world record for most time spent chained together as a couple. And they vowed to remain chained until they got married. It's worth pointing out they never got formally engaged. They wanted to make money from this stunt and then donate some of that money to charity. But enough was enough. She had to give up her job creating artificial eyelashes because her clients weren't crazy about the boyfriend being close by as she did it.
There you go.
That's a job, creating artificial eyelashes? Wow.
What's with the...
Victoria, you do great work, but I gotta say, I'm a little uncomfortable with your boyfriend here.
Apparently.
The unchaining was supervised by the Ukrainian records chief, who said, quote, since this is her first free evening, I'm going to go introduce myself to her. I don't know, man. Maybe give her a little time to
breathe, yeah,
before you put a move on her. I mean, they're a cute young couple and all, but yeah, I would let her have a couple of days before you start making moves, right? Body's not even cold. She's like a squeezed lemon, as they say.
That's not a saying, even here in the Ukraine.
Listen, we're all a little nutty from the radioactivity, but even here we don't say things like we're squeezed out like a lemon.
Number four.
I finally last night committed myself to sitting down and watching the documentary Class Action Park, which is about that water park out in New Jersey,
mm-hmm,
where a bunch of people died. And like almost immediately from the opening of the park, there were deaths on the Alpine slide. There were people that were drowning in the wave pool. Two people drowned in the wave pool. And comedian Chris Gethard has a great riff that he does in the movie where he's like, How'd you like to be the second person to die in the wave pool? Like, shut the wave pool down if people are dying in it. They had to paint the floor of the pool white so it was easier to spot bodies. And the water would get really murky from runoff from a nearby hillside, suntan lotion, and human excrement. So, like, you couldn't see bodies in the
Didn't they have, like, part-time employees that were, like, 15 in charge of the EMT?
13 and 14. Yeah. They got tired. This is out in Vernon, New Jersey. They got so tired because they only had, like, Vernon, New Jersey is a town of, like, 20, 30,000 people. And they had a volunteer ambulance department. The town had two ambulances. And all they did was constantly go
back
to
and
Action
forth.
Park. So the town got to the point where, like, you're going to have to just have your own ambulance
right.
crew. Yeah.
Your own private ambulance crew. We'll head it up with some 14-year-olds.
They had a like a whitewater rafting experience, the kayak experience. They had fans underwater that would push the water around.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't grounded properly. So one guest got electrocuted and killed. Two people died in the wave pool. They had an alpine slide that a guy died on. He went off the alpine slide, which is kind of similar to what they have up at Chestnut Mountain up in Galena.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing, actually. And this guy, this is in like 1980, he's on the ride, goes off the track, and ends up going 25 feet off the track because of the speed he was going at, hits his head on a rock and dies.
Uh-huh.
And the theme park's argument was, well, the ride didn't kill him.
He didn't die on our ride.
The rock is what killed him.
Right.
The rock killed him. It'd be no different than falling off a bicycle. So we're not really...
No. Yeah. It wasn't the ride.
And they also said at the theme park, they said, listen, this was an employee who was using the park after hours, and it was raining, and he shouldn't have been on it.
Nothing to see here.
Right. Except he wasn't an employee. It wasn't raining. It wasn't at night. Like, none of that was true. And because it was so hard to get insurance, the guy that owned the park just made up his own insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a reputation for not settling. They would make sure everything got dragged out in court to the point where lawyers wouldn't even bring up lawsuits because they knew it wasn't worth it. You weren't going to get anything from them. So it's a fascinating documentary about what went on out there. They had this one water slide that went in a complete loop.
Was that a good idea?
No. No engineer would say that you should do that. And they were doing it. They were putting test dummies in, and the test dummies were coming out decapitated. And the owner of the park was like, well, that can't be right. Let's get some of you kids in there. Yeah.
Let's do some human testing.
Right. And the kids are like, I'm not going in there. I just saw all these dummies come out with their heads off.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I'll give you kids $100 if you do it.
Mm.
So these teenagers are like, well, $100 is $100.
Sure.
So they did it and ended up getting just
annihilated.
Yeah. Yeah, they would come out concussed. They would come out. You were doing, when you're going down this water slide, you were doing 9 Gs, which you have to be in like an F-14 to do, right? And you would just get thrown around in the dark. You would do a loop-de-loop at the bottom of this water slide, which is not a good idea. And these kids would come out all concussed and all messed up. And then they did some alterations. And then they had more human guinea pigs going down the slide. And then these kids would come out with all these lacerations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to figure out, why are these kids getting all scraped up?
Yeah.
They were getting scraped up because the first batch of teenagers were getting pummeled so badly in the loop-de-loop that their teeth were coming out of their mouths and
what?
Getting lodged in the slide. And these other kids were getting scraped on the human teeth that they had to pry out of the slide.
That's not real.
No, it is. It is.
And once you're concussed, I gave you your $100.
Yeah, right. Uncle Gene gave you your money.
No, I'm nothing if not a straight shooter.
I'm mentioning this because I just watched the documentary last night.
Uh-huh.
And also, that water park is in the news again.
Huh.
Now, they've made it a much tamer version of itself. Action Park is no longer Action
40
Park.
40 years on.
Right. It's now called, the water park is now called Mountain Creek Water Park. And it's owned by people that aren't insane. And it's just basically a run-of-the-mill water park like you would find anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
However.
But the golden days are over.
Well, but there might be a return to the insanity here, a giant water slide at that park, water park in New Jersey, living up to its name. The ride is called High Anxiety. High Anxiety, a spokesperson for the water park says a fire broke out on the High Anxiety ride. Now, this happened when the park was closed and no one got hurt. The spokesperson for the park says, we can confirm there was a fire at our water park today that affected our High Anxiety attraction. First and foremost, we're thankful that the park was closed and there were no reported injuries. We're grateful to the Vernon and other local responding volunteer fire and EMS departments, as well as the Vernon police, who responded within minutes to help extinguish the fire. The water slide, which features a 45-degree drop, is now out of commission. But they say they will welcome guests back for their planned opening on Saturday.
High Anxiety.
How does a water slide catch on fire? There was this one ride they had on the. I can tell you about this documentary and not completely give everything away, but there was one attraction where at the top of the slide there were bees that made a nest.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to do anything about the bees because it kept people from lingering too long up on the top of it.
I'll keep that there.
Yeah, we'll keep them moving. Let the bees alone. Mm-hmm. If they sting people, that means people will move through the attraction faster.
Yeah.
So you get to the top of this thing with your slide.
They're unpaid security.
Exactly. And then, all right, I'll tell you one more story about this guy that owned this park. He had this idea because it was in an old ski lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have the ski chair, the ski lift that would take you up to the top of the mountain for the alpine ride. And he was getting frustrated because he knew that there were people that were riding the ski lift that hadn't bought a ticket for the ski lift. And he was trying to figure out, how do we curb this?
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking to his head of security, said, this is my idea. He pulls out a cattle prod. He then shocks himself in front of the head of security.
Uh-huh.
And he says, this is what we're going to do. I want to get one of the kids that works for us to make it look like he's on the ride and didn't pay. And in front of everybody, we're going to get this cattle prod out and we're going to shock him. And then the word will
get
out.
Everyone will
know. The word will get out. Don't get on the ride unless you bought a ticket, or they will cattle prod you.
Give him another dollar.
Right. So the head of security says, we're not doing that. That's not something we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner's like, okay, I guess you got a point. Then the security guy takes a day off, and he keeps getting calls at home from hundreds of upset parents.
Oh, it happened.
Because they watched a guy get murdered by the cattle prod for not having a ticket. Like, they just waited for the head of security
to take a day off.
And then they went ahead and did it. Staged a murder to make sure that people knew that they had to buy their tickets for the ski lift.
Five.
Number five.
Michigan woman won $1 million jackpot on a scratch-off lottery ticket.
Marvelous.
Yes. And she says she wouldn't have been able to purchase the scratch-off lottery ticket that got her the $1 million if a store clerk hadn't unlocked the closed door so she could shop. 52-year-old woman in Saginaw County, Michigan, who wants to remain anonymous. That's something they'll let you do in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
She says she and a friend showed up at the store and the doors were locked. Quote, my friend and I were on the way home for a bonfire and we needed to stop for a couple of things. We stopped at the Marion Springs General Store, but they must have just closed because the door was locked.
Uh-huh.
We were standing at the door when a clerk came over to let us in. The clerk allowed the woman and her friend to quickly shop for their items.
Yep.
She says, we grabbed items for the night, picked up some lottery tickets. I got home, got the fire going, forgot all about the tickets for a couple of days. When I finally scratched it off, I was so surprised to win $1 million. So she says she's going to use the money as a cushion to make her life more comfortable, which is smart. But don't you kind of owe the person that let you in the store a little sum for the effort?
Kind of above and beyond.
Right? I'll just tell you this. If I'm running the general store there in Saginaw,
you're not coming in.
And you show up and I've shut down for the day.
Yeah, that's it.
Good day, madam.
Right.
I said good day.
Yeah. No, I think that would be a large number of people that would be like, no, we're closed. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The hours are the hours. I don't set the hours. That's done by the owner of the shop. Sorry, I'm done here. Oh, do you need stuff for your bonfire? Well, maybe you come out a little bit earlier. Players have won more than $23 million playing the $1 million Frenzy Multiplier, which launched there in Michigan back in January. It's a $10 ticket. So you give them 10 bucks, you got a chance to win $1 million. It says here more than $43 million in prizes remain. Again, there's nothing in this press release that indicates this woman who showed up at the lottery headquarters to get her $1 million.
Right.
She wanted a one lump sum payment. So she got 634 grand rather than 30 annual payments for the full amount, which is, I think, what you're always supposed to take the lump sum. But
nothing in the story indicates.
I would like there to be a little something in the story that says she swung by during regular business hours.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a little something to wet this guy's beak who let her in.
The reality is I'm never going back to that store, so I never have to see that person. I really don't want to have a conversation with that person.
No, no, you don't. There's also this side of the coin. If I were the person who had won the lottery, the $1 million lottery with the ticket that I bought when the store was closed, I think I would keep that out of the story, because what's to stop the lottery from saying, well, this ticket's no longer valid then? You bought it after.
Yeah, that's just too much information.
Right?
What do you get out of telling that story?
I'm just going to assume that she's telling the story because she has made it right for whoever let her into the store.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would you tell this story? It's a jerk story unless you've done a little something for the...
Yeah, you wouldn't tell the story if you hadn't done something for that person.
Right? Unless you're a monster.
Unless you're a monster.
The store gets.
I just think it's hilarious that this person opened up the door, and I won that $1 million, and he didn't get anything.
Reopened a closed store, and gets nothing.
Get a load of this one.
Aren't I something else?
Isn't that hilarious?
No, but also, I mean, I would do some investigating to make sure that that's not somehow illegal.
Right.
You bought a lottery ticket
after
the posted business hours. Well, now that's null and void, and the state will be keeping your money.
What?
I would keep all of this a little
unnecessary close. Confessions.
Right.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
And that was Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for listening to it, and thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for making it possible.
Yeah, they have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan, West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan is open every day. Galesburg's open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower vapes and edibles.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Vaya, con Dios.